I have my friend Jeff up here again with me today.
Good morning.
And we are excited to be here again. Apparently, is that excitement from the...
It's over excitement.
I guess that's what happens. So we're in the fifth week of Lent, and I know we've been covering some heavy topics over the past couple of weeks since we started Lent. I guess when you have a series entitled Embracing Your Dust, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into, or maybe you don't. And so I had a few people last week ask me, when are we getting to resurrection? And the answer is, we are getting there. So we have two more weeks of Lent, and then after those 2 weeks, we'll celebrate that the tomb is empty. And we will celebrate resurrection. So I promise you, we are getting there. But the beauty of Lent is that it is this season marked by our frailty, our fragility, where we fully enter into our smallness, our dust. We embrace our dust. We embrace the truth that our very life, the very breath that we've been given, I guess that's me. So maybe I'll try to stop that so you don't hear that the entire time. How's that sound? We all on the same page? Yeah. Lent is this time in which we remember our dependence upon God, the very breath that we've been given. I might need a new microphone if this thing keeps going in and out like that. That might be distracting, is it not? Yeah. So we'll make sure it stops, I promise. Now, where were we? Yes. So today, what we are going to be doing is getting a new microphone. Can I use one of those? It's probably my fault. Thank you, Ben. If it weren't for Ben, we'd have static the entire time. Oh. Yes, we'll get through the intro. So last week we started talking about this topic of grief. And so today is our second week of talking about grief. And today what we wanted to do is take some of the topics that we explored last week, some of the big ideas, and make it really practical for you. So we're going to be talking about how to grieve, just some really practical ways to grieve, a couple misconceptions about grief, and then how do you support someone who is going through a season of grieving themselves. So if you have your Bibles, let's start in Luke chapter 22. And beginning in verse 39, Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Now, on reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now when he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Notice, the disciples, they were fast asleep. Why? Because they were exhausted from sorrow. This sorrow that Jesus was feeling within him, it didn't just stay within him, but rather it spread to all those around him as well. Is this not how sorrow works? Where you feel it within you, or there's someone maybe who is experiencing a loss, they're grieving, there's pain, and it sort of just flows out of them to the people. You can just feel that energy emanating out from them. This is how sorrow works. This is what we see happening here. And what this beautiful picture that Jesus gives us, Jesus is the model for us of what it means to be fully human. Jesus, this perfect portrayal for us of what it means to fully embrace our humanity. At Awaken, our vision is to create followers of Jesus. We do this not just by intellectual beliefs, but by how we live our lives, by how we move in the world. Here, we see Jesus modeling for us what it means, what it looks like to truly grieve, to embrace and to feel this loss that he's experiencing. Notice, Jesus didn't just run from his pain. He didn't just try to get through it, didn't beat his chest and try to get through it as quickly as he possibly could. He didn't tell his disciples, ah, come on, just get over it. You guys are dudes. We should totally just get over this thing. Don't feel. But rather, Jesus fully entered into all that he was feeling. Have you ever noticed that we live in a culture that tends to deny our pain? Have you ever noticed that we live in a culture that does everything we possibly can to numb what it is that we're feeling within us? And if it's an uncomfortable feeling, well, we try to numb it even more, or we run from it as quickly as we possibly can, or we stuff it down. And last week, we talked about this modern-day TV show called This Is Us. And we talked about This Is Us, how this is a perfect model. This is so necessary for us as a country, for us as a nation, for us as a world, for us as people, to be able to see people in front of us who are willing to grieve and be okay with the pain that they're experiencing. And This Is Us, it sort of acts like a release valve for us, for all the pain and the grief that we're carrying around with us. And so one of the things that we did over the past couple of weeks, we talked about this last week, but we took a Facebook survey, or Jeff took a Facebook survey and asked people, why are you so interested in This Is Us? And we looked at a couple of responses last week, but there's one about this numbing, and especially about men, that we found really interesting.
Yeah, this is a great show. So this past week was the season finale of season 2. Did anyone catch it? All right. All one of us.
Now there's a few hands over here.
There were? All right, great. It was season finale 2, and it really is a great, great show. And so, yeah, so we put out a Facebook survey because I actually started watching it myself. I had seen all these comments about it, and I was like, what is the show about? So I started watching it. And I had an idea of what it was doing for me, but I wanted to get an idea of what it was doing for other people. And so the survey that was put out there was, you know, why do you like the show? And what makes you keep coming back to it? And one of the responses, there were a ton of them, and I got to be honest, people had so much courage to just be real and honest in their responses. And one of them in particular was from a guy who said, I guess he had been talking to a friend of his, another guy, and his friend commented to him that, you must have lost touch with your manliness.
We do? Yeah.
Oh, I don't even have to
Look
say.
At that.
Wow. Being told being a man and a fan of this show means I've lost touch with my manliness. Wow. Society has told us that, huh? That as men, don't feel. We have to be the strong ones, the ones that can stand there in the face of whatever it is. And I heard once, it was a great picture of what it looks like of the movie Braveheart, and how the guys are just getting slammed with arrows left and right. And all they do is just break off the ends and leave the arrow inside them with the pain and the hurt and whatever else is happening, and they just keep moving forward. But eventually we've got to stop. You've got to. Because there's only so long we can keep going. And so he put this comment up. He lost touch with his manliness. I don't think so. I actually think being in touch with our emotions and feelings, as guys in particular, is a sign of strength. Because we're able to go to a place inside that it's so hard to go to. And sometimes it's so painful. It's not a sign that you've lost touch with your manliness. It's actually a sign that you're a man, that you're able to go there. This show does so much for us. It gives us permission in so many ways. It gives us permission to grieve. Sometimes we're by ourselves just watching the show, and it's going to move us in certain ways. It gives us permission to feel what it is inside that we're going through that might not ever come up in other times. show gives us permission to be true to what it is that we're feeling, whatever that is. It's a great show. And the writers, the way that they've done it and the way that the actors acted out, I mean, it's great. If you ever get a chance, watch it, because it really is an awesome show. But the other thing that watching this show and giving us permission on some of these things does is it allows us to become real and authentic and genuine as a person. I mean, think about it. You're feeling something inside. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling something inside, but you don't feel like you can share it or talk about it. But imagine if you did. Imagine if you were real and honest and authentic with whoever it is around you. Imagine how that would feel to be able to share that. Being able to be in touch with our emotions and feelings is so important. And like Dave mentioned, it's, you know, we walk around sometimes just being numb to it. But the thing with this show, This Is Us, it's helping so many people. Gives us permission in so many ways, and it can help us to be able to be real and authentic and honest. Because the truth is that whether it's here in Westchester or in New York, across the nation or across the world, men or women, inside and outside the church, are screaming for people to be real and authentic and honest about who they are and where they're at and what they're feeling. And this is that kind of show that gives us permission and the opportunity to begin and to start that process. I mean, that's the idea about the show, but there also are ways on how to grieve.
Yeah, so there are many different ways to grieve, and there's no one way that works for everyone. We all process things differently. We all feel emotions differently. And so there's all sorts of different ways that we can be in touch with what it is that we're feeling. And that's the goal. The goal is that what we're feeling within us, whenever we go through a period of loss, what we're feeling within us has to come out. And so that's the goal of grieving, is that we would find an avenue, as Jeff was saying, in order to be real with that which we're feeling within us. And so there's all sorts of different ways, and we have a couple of them that we're going to put up on the screen and talk through here this morning.
One way and how to grieve is creating a grief journal. It's just a way to sit down, be quiet with ourselves, and type it out. I like to type, but I've often heard that actually writing...
I like to write.
Yeah. actually writing gets you deeper into yourself, and it becomes more real, but I like to type because I could type faster. I think quick, and I can't keep up with it. But writing a grief journal. What is the loss that you've gone through? How did it affect you? How do you feel about it? You know, what are some things that come up for you? And doing a grief journal takes time. It's not like you're going to sit down for an hour, you know, and think that you're going to write this out and it's going to be done. I mean, sometimes you have to go back to it over and over and over again, and the idea is that it's just a process. It's just one avenue to be able to help us to grieve, whatever that thing is. Creating a grief journal takes time to do. So give yourself permission to be okay with however long it is. And if you find yourself, you sit down, you have your paper and pen or the computer in front of you or whatever it is, and you want to do a grief journal, and you just can't seem to access anything, or nothing necessarily comes up for you, ask God in His Spirit, because He knows. He knows what we've been through. He knows what's inside of us, and He knows the things that could potentially be holding us back? Ask him. Ask him to show you. And then share it. Share it with somebody, a trusted friend. This is where becoming real and authentic is so important. Pull someone aside that you trust and share it. Don't go through it alone. Don't go through it alone.
Third way is to have an actual ceremony. Hold a funeral. And I remember we were in seminary. We had a professor who would have these, he would hold these adulthood ceremonies. And it would be people who would say, I'm ready to leave my adolescence behind. And I'm ready to step into my womanhood or my manhood. And then a whole bunch of people would be gathered around and they would say a blessing over this person. And it's almost like an initiation ceremony. See, I think the ancients really had something going. When they tangibly practiced something in order to show outwardly what was happening within them. And so maybe you need to have an actual ceremony. You need to write a eulogy. You need to gather a few friends together. Whatever it is, maybe it's the loss of a relationship, the loss of a job. Hold a funeral for what it is that you've lost. Because just seeing it sometimes and then vocalizing it and having other people there to mourn with you, that's a really powerful practice. I got a phone call one time. I presided over a dog funeral. And it was really healing for this couple. They had no children, and so for them, this dog, it was like one of their kids. And so we held a funeral in the backyard for the dog, and it was so healing for them. So maybe you need to have an actual ceremony. And then a fourth way is to go see a counselor. Go find a spiritual advisor. There are trained professionals that can really help you walk through what you're feeling. There's trained professionals, people who, this is their job. They help walk us through moments of grief and pain in our lives. And I actually think seeing a counselor, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of you saying, you know what, I've been holding this in for so long and I can't do it any longer. And I think that's at the heart of everything that we're trying to say. If you are here this morning and you find yourself in pain, grieving, you're mourning, please don't go it alone. I've seen so much harm happen to people. We were talking about this week. We've seen so much harm in people's lives when they try to walk through their pain by themselves. Because that's not who we're meant to be. We're meant to be people who live together in community. People who have a support system, who have other people. So whether it's someone that you know here at Awaken, if it's a family member, if it's a friend, please find someone. Talk with them. I guarantee you, if they love you, they'll sit there and they will be there for you. Now, there's two misconceptions of grief that we want to talk about here this morning.
So one of the misconceptions of grief is time. There's a certain time limit to it, or a time frame, or if it's 3 months or 6 months or a year and a half, you should be done with your grieving. You should be able to get up and move on, and you should be fine. Everything should be okay. And we actually saw a clip recently that talked about this, and it was so powerful, because the truth is that you can't put a time on grief, because we're all different. And we're all experiencing and going through different types of things and situations and traumatic experiences and losses. You can't put a time on it. And I remember once I was dating this girl and we were having a conversation. And some of my stuff came up about some of the loss that I've been through. And I still feel it from time to time. And so we were in the middle of this, and one thing she turned to me and said was, how long ago was that? And I thought about it for a minute, and I was like, yeah, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. And she goes, aren't you done with that yet? Aren't you through that? Like, that's quite a long time. Come on, really? And I remember, I mean, part of it I was hurt at that, and part of it my defensiveness probably came out. But I turned to her and I was like, can I ask you a question? She goes, yeah. I said, have you ever lost a family member? She goes, no. I said, have you ever lost a father? She said, no. I said, you ever lost a sibling? She goes, no. I said, so how can you sit here and tell me how long it should take me to grieve? And there was silence for a little bit after that, obviously. You can't put a time frame on it. So part of the misconception is there is no time frame necessarily for it. Just giving yourself permission to be able to grieve, however long that takes, is so, so vitally important. Don't take that away from yourself, and don't let anybody else take that away from you, ever. So another misconception going through grief is sometimes, I mean, if you're like me, sometimes you can think about, wow, if I allow myself to feel this, you know, like Dave mentioned, this show, This Is Us, allows us, it's like a what did you say?
Release valve.
There you go. Release valve. My gosh. If I allow this to act like a release valve and I start feeling some of this stuff, holy cow, I'm not going to be able to hold it. I'm not going to be able to take it. This is going to be painful. What am I going to do with this? And I heard once it explained like this, and I thought it was great. If you've ever been to the ocean, you know, the ocean produces different size waves. So some of them are small and they can just pass right by you if you're by the shore. And some of them you can look out and say, wow, that's a huge wave coming. And sometimes when you see that huge wave coming, you're like, wow, head for the shore. You know, you want to get out of its way because you don't know if it's going to undertake you or overtake you or kill you. You don't know what's going to happen with this huge wave coming. And that's kind of how it is sometimes with dealing with our emotions and our feelings. A misconception is that it's going to act like that huge wave and it's going to overtake us. It can almost feel like it's going to kill us. And the truth is that if you ever watch waves, they come and they pass. And they come and they pass. And they come and they pass. And they don't overtake us. And they especially don't kill us, even if it can feel like that emotionally. Feeling some of this stuff could almost kill us. It's just like a wave. It will pass. And that's another thing that's so great about the show, This Is Us, is that it shows us this is an imperfect family just trying to make it. And they're dealing with all different stuff. And it comes and it goes. And the thing it shows us is they get through it. We will get through it. You will get through it. One step at a time. So that's another misconception, that those waves of emotions will overtake us if we allow ourselves to feel it. And another misconception is, what is actually grief worthy? You ever thought about that in your life? Maybe deep down. Maybe even right now you're feeling something, but when you think about the thing that you're feeling, you're like, that is so small and petty. I can't share that with anyone. I don't want anyone to know that. And meanwhile, we sit in the pain and the hurt, and we don't do anything with it. A misconception is that there's only certain things that are grief-worthy. Like if you actually lose somebody to a death, like that's the only thing that we're allowed to grieve. I mean, Dave just mentioned a family where they grieved the loss of a pet. I mean, you don't know what it is for us. And when Dave and I were in seminary, some of the professors would feel it was more important or just as important to experience and not just be in a classroom. So some of the professors would put together trips around the world. And so one trip that we were actually able to go on as students was Australia. You didn't come on that trip. You should have. That was a great trip. Long, you agree with that one? It was a long flight. Holy cow. If anyone's ever been to Australia, but you have? Yeah, it is a beautiful place. Long flight, though. And so we went to Australia, and one of the things one of the professors was doing was putting together and putting on, it was for leadership development. So one of the places that us as a group were able to go was this girls' home. And it was all girls, and there were a bunch of chaperones and teachers and supervisors and whatnot. And this was a place where these people who started this saw a need and had a heart for young girls who were lost, young girls who were out on the street, young girls who were trying to make it in all kinds of different ways. And so they would take them off the streets and bring them into this home, and they would house them and feed them and begin to put them through certain things to be able to deal with life and teach them things and help them with school and basically help them get away from whatever it was that they were going through or wherever it was that they were at and give them a fresh start in life. And so we happened to actually be there for one of these ceremonies. It was one of these times where a bunch of the girls had been there for a certain amount of time and they had passed this certain process point. And so they wanted to celebrate that. And we were there for that. And it was a great time to see this and the effect that it's having on some of these young girls. It was awesome. Well, there was one girl in particular that afterwards there was a bunch of us standing around and she started sharing and she was smiling and, you know, so proud of herself. And we were proud of her. We were like, you know, wow, that's really great. I was like, this is awesome. I mean, this is so great, the place that you've come from and where you're headed and the hope that you have. This is great. I mean, this is awesome. And she started crying. Almost uncontrollably. And I thought to myself, holy cow, I know I've been told before that I can make girls cry. But in Australia too? Come on. But she started crying uncontrollably. And I'm, you know, some of us were like, what happened? And so one of the teachers was like, you know, what's going on? Do you feel okay to share? And she said, okay. And she started to share her story briefly, how her parents had gotten divorced when she was practically an infant. And she ended up in a foster home. Her dad wasn't around. Her mom, I believe, was on drugs. And she found herself over and over through foster homes. She found herself on the streets. I mean, she had a really tough life. I want to say she was probably 15, 16, 17 years old for someone of that age. She's not the only one. There's so many people that unfortunately go through that. But this was her story. And the reason she was crying was because her dad had never really been in her life. He wasn't passed away. He hadn't died. He was around, and he was local. But he had never really been a part of some of the things that have gone on in her life. And this was so important for her. This was such a milestone. You talk about those ceremonies. This was so important for her. And I guess they had been in touch, and she said, Dad, can you come? And he said, I promise you I'll be there. I'll be there. She was so happy. And she went through this ceremony, and she looked out. She never saw her dad. He never showed up. And so for the first time for her, what she was starting to feel and having to grieve was the realization her dad hadn't died. She hadn't lost him to death. She just finally realized he was never going to be the father in her life that she knew she really needed. And it was something that she was going to have to come to terms with and accept. And that was like the final straw for her, that she finally saw that. The moment that she felt she really wanted her father to be there, he didn't show up again. And it was such a pattern that to her, she realized this was just the way it will always be. So when you think about grieving, a misconception is what's really grief worthy. That wasn't a loss, but to her it was. So don't let misconceptions stop you from beginning and working through your grief.
Now I know we only have a few minutes left, but so what I want to do is I want to just quickly walk you through a couple of ways to support someone who's grieving. So the first is just to listen. Please, just listen. I remember when I was a pastor, I thought my role was to go and fix people's grief. And I came to realize that doesn't work, nor should you do that anyway. But more importantly, our role in supporting others is just to be there, to listen, and to give others permission to allow the grieving process to happen. And then another way to support someone is no cliches. No cliches. Those do not help. They really don't. And there's tons of them. If you've been in the church for a while, you know all of the cliches to say. Please, no cliches. People don't need to hear those. They're experiencing real loss. They don't need someone trivializing their experience, making it smaller than what it is. They need someone who's going to just sit there with them. And then I think we have a third way is just do. Don't ask. The Jewish practice, sitting Shiva, where when a family loses someone, they will open their home for a week, and then others will just come and they'll sit with them. And the family does not prepare meals for an entire week because they rely on the support of others. Sometimes asking people in the midst of grieving, what can I do? Give me a call if you need something. They're not going to call. They're not. So drop a meal off at the front porch. Bring the garbage out. Whatever it might be, just act. Don't wait for them to contact you. And do we have a fourth? No, we do not have a fourth. So those are just three ways to support someone. Now, what we want to do as we close here this morning is we want to show one final clip from This Is Us. And it was from this past week's season finale. We promise we're not giving too much away. And it was such, Jeff sent this over to me. It was one of those bootleg copies where I heard him breathing in the background.
Great, I recorded it with my phone. You got a better copy, trust me.
There's a wedding, and this is the toast. And we saw Kevin last week, and this is his speech that he makes at his sister's wedding. So I want to show this. We want to show this as a final clip and a way to sort of wrap up. And obviously, we're just scratching the surface. There's so much more to talk about. And if you're interested in having a discussion group, we talked about the possibility of doing something maybe. So please, come see me, come see Jeff, shoot me an email, and we would love to arrange something where we can explore this topic a little more together. So let's watch this video, and then we'll close up for this morning.
Mom, Randall, earlier last year, Kate said something to me that was profound. She said, Kevin, if you don't allow yourself to grieve Dad's death, it'll be like taking a giant breath in and just holding it there for the rest of your life. at the time, I didn't want to hear any of that. You know, I didn't. But here we are. It's one DUI and a rehab stint later. And I'm thinking maybe you were onto something. I think we've all been holding our breath for a long time. And so before we toast Toby and Kate, before we clink our glasses, I think that the four of us should release that breath together. It's important that we do that, that we just let go of those things we've been holding on to. So, okay, here we go.
If you don't allow yourself to grieve, it's like taking one giant breath in and just holding it there. See, there's some of us here this morning, and we've been holding our breath for a while. Maybe it's been months, maybe years, and you've been suffocating yourself. And you feel it deep down in the pit of your stomach, and it just sits there like an anchor, like a weight. So as we close here this morning, we just want to give you that space and that permission to breathe, to let out that which is just sitting there, stealing life, preventing you from breathing and fully experiencing your life. So we're going to give just a moment of silence here. We have a few people that will be in the back who would love to pray for you. If you're here this morning and something has come up and you need some prayer, you need someone to talk with, to just be there, to listen, to pray for you, we'll have a couple people in the back. This is your space to just breathe. Let me pray here for us. God, we give you this time. And God, whatever we've been holding in, I ask that your Spirit would show us. God, if there's any ways that we've just been holding our breath, that we've been pushing pain or grief down, I ask that your Spirit would reveal and that your Spirit would give us the strength to breathe again, to feel again, to be honest, to let go of that which we've been holding within us. We give you this time. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.